Hey everybody, it's Josh, and welcome to, or welcome back to, the Park Ridge Presbyterian Podcast. This is a special episode of the podcast coming to you after a special service we had here on Sunday, June 23rd. This particular part is part two of two. These remarks are some that I offered towards the end of a special service. They focus on the lasting legacy of some of the founding people of the Presbyterian Church in Scotland. We hope this presentation is engaging to you, and we hope that you'll come back next week for our regular continuation of our messages. Please join me in a moment of prayer. God, we thank you for this time we have together. And in this very moment, we lift up to you a time of reflection as we reflect on our history and the example we find in Scripture. Help us to create a beautiful future with what you have given to us to do. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Well, celebrating our history is a very important thing to do. Celebrating our history is akin to the sentiment of, if you do not learn from history, you are bound to repeat it. The sense of history that we are looking at today, of course, at this moment, is the Scottish heritage of the Presbyterian Church. And it is a rich history and a blessed history. Like any church history, it has its ups and downs, but we focus today on the positive things that we have in that history, because when you focus on what is so good about the Scottish heritage, what you focus on so good on what it means to be Presbyterian, it helps you celebrate what to keep learning and keep repeating from the past as we create the future God has given to us. Now, you have seen in full force, as we've experienced and celebrated together, a history of what it means to be Presbyterian and its Scottish roots in the Church of Scotland. And in the midst of that, you might be wondering, who and how did this all come to be? Oftentimes, I either want to be asked or I get to ask, what does it mean to be Presbyterian? And very rarely do I have such a beautiful and captive audience to listen to me. So I'm going to take advantage of that for just one moment. Usually they're like, what does it mean to be Presbyterian? And I'm like, you don't really have a good answer for that, do you? But I do, actually. What it means to be Presbyterian is this gentleman by the name of John Knox gave us a beautiful lesson on what it means to be the church. John Knox, influenced by some of the reformers of the 1500s, was someone who took and put together the beautiful reformed theology of John Calvin and then noticed a pattern in church leadership that he thought was worth repeating, and brought it together to give us the Presbyterian Church, the form of which took place in the Church of Scotland. And John Knox then has given to us the roots of what it means to be Presbyterian in America today. Now, John Knox is an important person, so for just a moment, I want to introduce you to his history through a short video that might help explain better who he is than I could in this moment. So pay attention if you would.
John Knox would later join these believers and was here in the castle when he was captured by the French Navy. Along with some others, he was sentenced to work as a galley slave and did this for 19 months. Then he was released. No one really knows why, because it was not normal custom to release a galley slave, but Providence must have been in his favor. He returned to Scotland, but soon after he went to England, where he spent some time with Thomas Cranmer, Archbishop of Canterbury, and then he also went to Berwick-upon-Tweed, where he preached and ministered there. Soon after Mary, a staunch Catholic, came to the throne in 1553, he left Britain and went to Europe, where he settled for several years in Switzerland. He spent time with John Calvin, and this powerful reformer, Calvin, would have a huge impact on his life, on his theology, and on the reforms that he would later lead here in the country of Scotland. In 1559, he returned here to Scotland, this time for good, and took over as the minister here in St. Giles Cathedral, becoming its first Protestant minister. Whilst here, they abolished the Mass and repudiated papal jurisdiction. As well as preaching, he was also instrumental in writing some important documents that helped to frame the church. He, along with five other men, incidentally all named John, wrote the Scots Confession of Faith, which explained what the church believes, and the Book of Common Order, which replaced the prayer book and was officially adopted by the church in 1560. Despite the fact that he traveled extensively throughout his life to different parts of Britain and Europe, he always maintained a deep passion for Scotland, famously saying once, "Give me Scotland or I die." He always kept in his mind his home country, a place that had been laid upon his heart. I remember once as a young minister being told, "Your calling is where your burden lies."
So John Knox has given to us this lasting legacy of what it means to be one kind of a church. John Knox then has inspired Presbyterians from then to now to find our way forward with a particular form of church leadership, and combined with Reformed theology that gives us a sense of what it means to be Presbyterian today. And it's in that sense of what he gave to us that we find this lasting legacy of what it means to be the church for us today. Now, what John explored in his time with John Calvin in Switzerland, who was the French reformer, not quite a contemporary of Luther, but on historical significance in the similar way, what he found was there were groups of congregations, churches there in Switzerland, that were being governed by a council, governed by an election of officers that allowed them to be led by this group of people, as opposed to an individual priest, or by taking its cues from the Pope in Rome. And what they did is similar to what we do now. John Calvin and John Knox took the best of what was there, which was a lot. A lot was still good in what was being done. And they took the good and they brought it into their understanding of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And they combined that with this structure of leadership that gives us the lasting legacy that Presbyterians embody today. Now, this pattern that John observed in Switzerland wasn't a new one either. This was one that was also found throughout the early church. Anytime you flip through the pages of the New Testament, this example of church leadership, the one that comes before us, is one that is repeated time upon time, again and again, whatever it might be. And we find ourselves confronted with this specifically in the book of Acts, time and time again. There it is, time and time again. Now, if you notice, there's this pattern in the book of Acts that every time there's a problem, it starts off with one person trying to figure it out. One person starts to think about it, one person starts to pray about it, and fortunately in the book of Acts, one person doesn't decide what is going to happen or decides the answer to the problem. In fact, actually multiple times, it then goes to a group of people. In the book of Acts, you'll find the word council there often, which is the inspiration then for a leadership team made up of people brought together for the purpose of leading a local church. You might also then find a word in there embedded in the conversations around that group of people that you'll find in there, elders. And for those of you who are Presbyterian or part of the Church of Scotland, that one will ring a bell quickly. But for all of us, when we find ourselves flipping through those books, the stories in the book of Acts, every time you see the word elder, the Greek word behind it is the Greek word presbyteros, which, if that sounds familiar, is what would later come into English and become Presbyterian. And so in the midst of the early church, we find the foundations of this lasting legacy where this elder church-led system was put into practice and the best decisions were made by this group of people. Calvin and others and John Knox and then Presbyterians here took serious heed to what was being done there, and they found what is true then is still true today, that when we live into this sense of what God calls us to be together in this form of leadership for church governance, we find out that we have this beautiful thing. What happens is we are better together when we lead in groups, and we also have a tremendous impact because we are reminded that everyone has a role to play. Now, this might sound commonplace for us today on some level, but this was earth-shattering for those back in the time of the Reformation, and in different walks of life in our world today, it can be a reminder of when it is at its best as well. And so this isn't so much just a history lesson about a chance to celebrate our history. It's also a chance to remember what we have going with us into our future as we create it. So the lasting legacy that we celebrate today is a beautiful sense of church in Scotland and church in the United States, But in combination together, what we really have is a call from God to lead together and to remind ourselves that everyone has a role to play in God's work in the world. So as we go into our days today and we go in our weeks to come, let us remember that that's the lasting legacy that we celebrate today as we gather to celebrate our history and as we go to create our future. Amen. And now I invite you, as you are able, to stand so we might sing together our closing hymn, number 543, Abide With Me.